If you want the best coverage from the farm system to the front office, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, now on the Dub Network. Here are your hosts, Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 92, and today, Cam Colley, the Texas Rangers' number 23 prospect and infielder, is going to be joining us on the road with the Hickory Crawdads. But first, Jeff, been a busy, busy weekend and week as the Texas Rangers, they did exactly what we thought they would when we were on here last Friday. They made some moves. They bettered their team.
Yep.
And here we go. Now we're going down the stretch.
Yeah, you know, I'm trying to remember last week. I think we did some predictions. I predicted a big splash pitcher.
Right.
I said Dylan Cease is who I wanted, but I also said Justin Verlander. Well, they didn't get Justin Verlander, but they got Max Scherzer.
Oh my gosh.
And that's pretty darn good. Same team. I don't know who's better, Scherzer or Verlander career wise. It's going to be pretty close. They're both Hall of Famers.
Yep.
But anyway, Max Scherzer, geez. You know, and then they went out and got another starter.
Well, I knew this when they got Scherzer, and we saw what they gave up for Scherzer. The only thing they gave up for Scherzer was Acuna, Luis Angel Acuna, who we all know and love, and he's always been in the prospect list.
Yeah.
Great kid. We've talked to him many times. When they got him, and that's all it took, along with the money that the Mets were going to eat to bring him back. I tweeted this out, and I was serious. I was like, I don't know who the Rangers are looking for, but they can outbid anybody. If it only took Acuna to get that, this organization is very popular among other teams. They're going to go get whoever they want.
Yeah.
They won't be outbid. If they don't get somebody, it won't be because they're outbid. It'll be because they didn't feel like they wanted to give it up for it. And I was right.
Yeah, yeah. And they follow that up by getting Jordan Montgomery and Chris Stratton. I keep calling Jordan Montgomery and Jordan Zimmerman.
Yeah.
So that's going to come out, and that's just going to bite me in the ass at some point in a story. I know it is. But, you know, he was probably the best rental pitcher available.
Yes.
You know, he goes about a little different. He doesn't throw hard, like as hard as Scherzer or Verlander, but he spins it. And if you just look at his numbers, they're
impressive.
They're excellent. And
he's 6-9, but he had not had much run support at all.
Yeah. 3.4 ERA, doesn't walk a lot of guys.
He's big.
Crafty left-hander. He's a bigger guy, yeah. So, anyway, you know, Scherzer pitched yesterday, which was Thursday the 3rd.
This is Friday.
On August 4th here, and Montgomery's making his debut, so we can talk about that next week. But I liked what Scherzer did yesterday. You know, the first inning, fell behind 3-0 on balls that were hit 62.9 miles an hour, 63.9, and 80.8. So he didn't give up solid contact. He did have a little trouble throwing strikes there. He threw 33 pitches in the first, but then that was it.
Yeah.
He gave up 4 hits, thrust away, didn't walk anybody. Struck out 7 from that point on, finished with 9 strikeouts.
Just what could pitchers do? They adjust.
Exactly.
We've seen it this year from their whole rotation has had some times where Heaney will go out every once in a while and have a bad inning and then go. Even Martin Perez, he'll give up that big inning, and he's scuttled a little bit lately, but all of a sudden he'll go 3 or 4 scoreless afterwards.
Right.
We've seen it from Eovaldi and Gray, who will do the same thing. Pitchers adjust when things aren't working, and all of a sudden they go through it. Scherzer's a talker, too.
Yeah, Scherzer can talk. He's fun, you know.
He was not too – I mean, he threw the Mets under the bus.
Well,
yeah. Who are now backtracking – and saying, we just lied to him and told him that so he would take the deal, which I can't, well, that's one thing. And I heard that might have been a parody account that said that.
Maybe.
But I saw somewhere where they said the GM, was it Epler? Is that who runs
them?
Yeah,
Billy
said,
Epler.
Well, we just told him that so that he would, that's the dumbest. When I read that later, I thought, and somebody said, hey, I think this is a parody. I go, it's got to be. No way that they're saying we're lying to players.
Yeah, right. But they made it clear, though, that 2024 is not going to be a go for it year. And Max Scherzer, who's 39, just turned 39 last week.
Absolutely.
He's not in a position to wait. He's got to go for it now. I mean, he's still a very effective pitcher and in excellent shape and seems like he could pitch beyond next season. But, you know,
he went ahead and opted in next year, too.
But let's be honest. I mean, he's on the sun is setting on his career. He's not 29 anymore. He's 39. And, so he wants to win, and that's the thing. That was always been the takeaway for me with him, and especially here, just listening to him and seeing him talk the last 3-4 days, this guy's all about winning.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he did what he had to do to give the Rangers a chance yesterday after that 3-run first. And it was good. And I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of it. You know, the thing that really stands out to me is his eyes.
Yeah.
Because he has the different colored eyes. And that's something. That's got to be worth at least a strikeout or two a game. I mean, it can...
What dog is it that always has that? I think it's the Australian Shepherd that does that.
It's like what eye do you look at? You know, but it's like adds to his intensity.
Yeah,
you know, but he's going to be fun to cover the rest of this year and the next year too.
Yep.
That's the key to the deal. If you're going to give up an Acuña,
You got to
get the guy for next year.
Exactly.
And it's interesting, though, that it did only cost Acuña. I know the Mets sent a pile of money with them, but I figured it would take at least another prospect. And maybe they had it structured. Maybe they probably had several iterations of the deal. But, man, again, Acuña, very good prospect. He's going to be the Mets' top prospect when the next rankings, organizational rankings come out.
Probably goes into next year as one of the favorites to maybe win their second base job. They've got a hole at second base.
Okay.
Is what I've heard. I've kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. I know they have McNeil and they obviously have Lindor at shortstop.
Right.
I don't know. I'm
pulling for Acuña. It's sure. Good for both of them to be well.
Yeah, I don't know though that he's close, that close. I think he's still has to play at AAA. But anyway, you know, I mean they basically gave up Max Scherzer and $36 million. They basically bought Acuña for Max Scherzer and $36 million. And that's you know, depending on how teams value talent, they think this guy's going to be a star. And he might be, you know. And obviously they see a lot of his brother in the same division.
Yep.
He's not quite his brother. If he was his brother, he'd already be in the major league.
Sure,
So we'll see what happens. But that was an interesting trade. We hated to see Thomas Ajayi and TK Roby
just
traded.
On the show.
Yeah.
You know, good things happen, and I think this is a great thing for him, actually.
Sure.
To get moved. You know, when you get traded, it sucks in the fact that this is the team you got drafted by. Mm. This is the team you've had these friends with for the last couple of years. But when you get to a point where you've played yourself into a position that maybe you don't know where the hole is for me to get to the big leagues, and somebody trades you, and you're, let's be honest, he was the headline of that deal.
Yeah, he was.
He was the headline of that deal because they see what he's done at Double A, what he's done all the way coming up,
yeah.
Low A, high, since he's been drafted. This is a guy that has a good shot to maybe go to Triple A by the end of the year, and maybe he's competing for a job in the big leagues. That's what they see in this guy. He's already started off pretty hot for Springfield.
Yeah.
That's their Double A affiliate there. You play your way into opening. Another team wanted you. You were what they wanted. That's what closed the deal was Thomas Ajayi.
You know, he it's interesting. He was player of the week, I don't know, at the beginning of July or the end of June because he hit like 520 in the series against Springfield.
Right.
And, you know, he hits for power. He's got 4 grand slams. He plays good defensively. He can play around him. You know, and the Cardinals are a good – I know they're – crummy this year, but they're a good organization.
Yeah, I mean, they are.
They're the St. Louis Cardinals. They have the second most World Series of any team, you know.
Right.
And they always have good young players, and hopefully he's the next one. Honestly, I mean, you know, such a nice kid, and not just saying that because he was just on our show, but
no,
what everybody says it. And TK Roby, another 2-time guy on our show, good guy with a lot of upside. And you know, John King, who hadn't done a lot, he was the third one, and I guess he needed a major leaguer if you're the Rangers.
Yeah, but, you've got to clear the 40 man spot too.
And, yeah, and the Rangers needed a spot, and he'd had good moments too, and so
sure. But he was not the player that got the deal done.
No.
It was Sajacy that got it done. Roby was also. It's Roby and Sajacy are who got that done. Let's not count out Roby, who was a good prospect in this organization.
He's just been hurt this year.
Yeah, and so that was a good thing. But, you know, it also says to this, too, those guys, when you stack up on prospects like that, that's somebody, too, that let's say he – doesn't get to the big leagues, they can turn around in the offseason and flip him into something else,
sure,
depending on what you're doing. Yeah. When you play to be a popular prospect, you play into that position as a popular prospect, doors open for you to get to the big leagues somewhere else if they're not in your own organization.
Yeah.
And that's what this does. And so JC, a fifth-round pick in that 2020 COVID draft, we talked all about that, played his way into headlining a deal that made the Rangers better and really upgraded the organization for the minor league organization for the Cardinals.
Well, and Roby was the third-round pick in 2020. So
sure.
You know,
what a draft.
Yeah, if you look at that draft, it's Foscue, Carter, Roby, McLean. Dylan McLean, who's having a nice year for down east, and then Sajacy. So that's just kind of a hat tip all the way around. You know, it's pro scouting to amateur scouting. Good stuff. Rangers also got Austin Hedges to catch. He doesn't hit at all, but he's excellent defensively. Frames pitches very, very well.
He stole a strike the other night.
Yeah, he's done that, I think, more than anybody in the game. It'll be interesting to see when Jonah's back. Jonah Heim's going to come back. He got some good news from a doctor. He probably won't be batting right-handed, but that's okay.
They have a guy named Mitch Garver that'll do that. Who's kind of got on.
Yeah.
It is a noticeable difference when he's in the lineup every day of what he does at the plate.
Sure. Well, and that's for everybody.
When he's catching,
When he's catching, yeah, he's more into the game.
Yep.
A lot of people have said that, and. Mitch is one of them who said it's hard to DH. And as silly as that sounds, it is hard to DH, especially when you're used to playing every day. But
Corey DH'd the other night, and it was the only night he didn't have a great night since he's been back. And
but Garver hit the longest home run of the season for the Rangers.
Yeah, that was a bomb
Tuesday
too.
Afternoon. And if he's hitting, if Jonah comes back. Look, Sam Huff had three hits on Wednesday night.
Yeah, he
had really good AAA numbers, and so he's probably going to be on the team next year.
Yeah,
you know, he'll probably be Heim and Huff as the catching duo, unless Garver chooses to re-sign or if they even attempt to re-sign him.
Does he have an option?
No, this is his last year of arbitration eligibility.
Okay.
So he's a free agent next year. But, it just seems.
They're not going to tender him a qualifying offer, though.
No, he won't get a qualifying offer.
No.
Anyway, so last week, Rangers go to Houston, lose 2 out of 3. They go to San Diego, get swept. You're thinking this team needs a jolt. I think they got it. And not necessarily a jolt. I kind of wrote this today in the newsletter at rangerstoday.com, $5.99 a month, $35 for 6 months, $60 for a year. They didn't really need a kick in the butt. But what the deals did was the front office is telling the players, we believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some more help.
Yep.
Go get it.
Yep.
And that resonates with the players. Andrew Heaney mentioned it the other day. I'll say this too. The Rangers now have 7 starters. With Nathan Eovaldi, who's on the IL, but look, since the trade, Heaney 6 scoreless, 11 strikeouts, and Dane Dunne took a shutout, almost got through 8 shutout innings, 12 strikeouts.
Right.
You think those guys don't want to lose? They don't want to lose their rotation spot.
No, they don't.
Martin Perez, unfortunately, our buddy has lost his. He's in the bullpen now.
That's not a bad arm to come out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
He does throw strikes.
Yeah. I don't know when we'll see him. It gives him a chance to work on some things, too.
Yeah.
To get his, he's complained about this for a couple months now. The timing in his delivery just isn't right.
Right.
And it's been right. Now, the last couple starts, he's been okay. He gave up 4 runs in 1 inning at San Diego, but gave up nothing for the other 5 innings he pitched. And, he's kind of had that. You're just talking about it with Scherzer. You give up runs and then you come back and do what you can. He's had that too often, though. So, anyway, things are looking up. Rangers just swept the White Sox. They're playing the Marlins this weekend. They do head out on the road next week, but they – taking a couple good arms with them.
I tell you what, they did something going out at this trade deadline. They have revamped this team. They've revamped that rotation. Eovaldi coming back. Oh my gosh! I mean, this—if you're a Ranger fan, which I am, admittedly—it fires you up that the team did this. The team's going for it. They want to win. They're not just, you know, the last few years. It's, well, if we make a move, it'll be something long term. Yeah, we want to maybe do something, but we're only going to do it if it's going to. It's, we're looking into the, they rented two players today. They, Stratton and Montgomery are both rentals. So's Chapman. Yeah. They rented Hedges. They're not afraid to rent anybody right now because they're going for it right now. And they do get, I do like that the opt-in. And Scherzer is an opt-in. You know, if he pitches like an ace, he's your ace. And then you got DeGrom possibly back by the end of next year.
Right.
With that. But even if he's your three starter in a rotation, Max Scherzer's a gamer.
Yeah.
This is a guy that he will go down swinging and fighting.
Yeah. He's a one or two. Yeah. I mean, he basically takes the place of DeGrom.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, hopefully DeGrom, if he's able to come back in April next year and the Rangers are in contention and he gives them another big arm for a possible postseason run.
That's your trade deadline acquisition is Jacob DeGrom. You hope you go into the trade deadline and he's already doing rehab starts or throwing somewhere.
Right.
And that's your guy you're looking to. Okay. We're going to bring him in. He's going to be on pitch counts when he first gets back, but that's a guy ramping right up for the playoffs if everything goes the way you hope it does.
Right.
He seems like a guy that wants to get ahead of the curve and he wants to be back as quick as possible.
Yeah.
He's in that clubhouse. We see him all the time. He's in the clubhouse with the guys, you know, yucking it up and having fun. I know he was emotional when he got hurt. And all of that, but he's there. I know he's tackling it, and I know that he felt kind of relief that he figured out what it was. I remember him saying something to that effect. So, yeah, that's going to be great. And, you know, right now the leader in the clubhouse for opening day starter next year, maybe it is Scherzer or Eovaldi.
I'd say it's Eovaldi. But let's see how the rest of the year plays out. I mean, if Scherzer goes 10-0 and leads him to World Series, it's going to be hard. But, anyway, it's just been, like you said, right off the top, a newsy week, a busy week. If you're a Rangers fan, it's a fun week.
Right.
And now the next 8 weeks are going to be fun. I mean, it's going to be tense. You know, the Astros are right there, 1.5 games back.
Yeah, they got beat last night by New York.
As we sit here today, it's going to be like this. It's going to be back and forth. Rangers may slip out of first place for a few days. They may not, yeah, but the key is,
well, you're,
the
you're,
key is to win the division. Obviously, if you're the second seed, you get a bye,
right?
You know, if you become at this rate, because of what the Orioles have done, they're going to be the four seed, the first wild card seed. The Rangers would be the fifth one,
right.
Fifth seed. At that point, you might as well be the sixth seed because the sixth seed you'd get to play the Twins or the Indians in the first round. But I don't know. I don't think you can't plan out. Hey, well, let's go be the sixth.
Yeah.
Let's go be the sixth wild card.
You don't want any plan.
You don't
want
to flirt with that. But
no,
just win the division and let the rest take care of itself. But
meaningful baseball. That's what you're playing right now. Yeah. You're scoreboard watching every night.
And it hasn't been like this for a long time.
Oh, and it's never been like this when I have covered them.
Uh huh.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch. It's fun to watch the players. Their intensity in the game and what they're doing. I mean, it as a fan, you've got to love it. This is meaningful baseball. And I tell you what, I can't wait to watch what they do down the stretch. And like you said, they could go out of first place for a day or two or whatever. But this is what it's about. It's about this. It's about every game counting right now.
Right.
Every game counts. Marlins are in town tonight going for the weekend before they head out of town. This is great. What do you say we bring on Cam Colley?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's get him on here. The Frisco Rough Riders bring us Cam Colley. It's coming up right after this. The guest segment today is brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders. Jeff, what's going on with the Rough Riders?
Well, they're at home right now. They're home through the weekend. So if you're listening to this on today, Friday the 4th, you can get out there tonight for a pretty special night. It's when they're the Dallas Black Giants, and they wear the uniforms of the old Negro League team and pay respect to them. Post-game fireworks Friday and Sunday. Kids run the bases on Saturday the 5th. College night. I always bring out those college kids. Drink some beer and act crazy. So that's a fun night. And then the 6th, Kids Sunday Fun Day, as always. Remember the double fireworks. And then one other thing, and this is kind of a save the date, I guess, is what they call it. The Rough Riders, in conjunction with Peak Events LLC, have scheduled already the 8th annual Frisco College Baseball Classic, March 1st through 3rd, 2024. Pretty good lineup of teams: Alabama, Arizona, Indiana, and Dallas Baptist.
So Dallas Baptist is local.
That's good. four pretty good ball clubs right there. So, again, it's going to be at Riders Field. They've done it for eight years. You can buy tickets on a day-to-day basis. They're available now. Go to friscoclassic.com, and if you have any curiosity about what's coming up at Frisco, go to milb.com/Frisco.
All right, guys, and joining us right now on the road with the Hickory Crawdads is the Texas Rangers number 23 prospect. He's a second-time guest on our show. It's Texas Rangers infielder Cam Colley. Cam, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? Glad to be on here.
It's going good. How's Hickory treating you?
It's good. The group of guys here is great, and coaching staff is great, and they welcome me really good.
Well, I mean, you probably know half of them. It seems like the group that started out and
mm-hmm.
got moved up. Does that make it easier to transition?
Yeah, much easier. Walking in the clubhouse and the guys are just so welcoming, and I see familiar faces. It made the first game go a lot easier, and then ever since then, it's just every time I go in the clubhouse, it feels like home, and it's just a really good camaraderie and good vibe within the clubhouse.
What's I mean, you left behind your like two of your best pals though, and down east mm-hmm. I don't want to say it was that hard to say goodbye to him, but you know, Ian and JoJo are your guys.
Mm-hmm.
Was it tough? Or are you still? I'm guessing you're staying in touch, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough leaving them, but I mean, they were rooting for me, and they told me like good job, and they're just being supportive. But it's always tough leaving them. But I know that I still keep in touch with them and check in on them and ask them how they're doing. Yeah. And check the box scores of their games to see what they do and how Down East is doing. But, yeah, it was tough to leave those two since I came into pro ball together with them, and it's pretty much played with them for two straight years. So,
yeah. So down East, for people not familiar with North Carolina geography, is pretty close to the Atlantic Ocean. Okay. Like, you know, when the big hurricane came through a couple of years ago, there was actual damage to the stadium. That's how close it is to the Atlantic.
All right.
Hickory is west of Charlotte, and it's basically in the mountains. I mean,
that ball flies there.
Yeah.
Is it really that big of a difference? Is it? Can you tell a difference in just the few games you've had at Hickory that the ball does go a little further, or just a different climate?
Yeah, you can. It was quick to tell that the ball flew a little bit further there compared to where I would play at Down East.
Yeah, because like you kind of look at the Down East club, and the numbers have been down, and like the pitching's been great. Is that just a pitcher's league this year, or do you think the park factors have something to do with it?
I think maybe a little bit of both, but I definitely think our pitchers at Down East did a heck of a job this year. They were really good. They made their pitches, and they were just pounding the zone, getting ahead and just competing. But I also do think not so much our stadium, because surprisingly Down East kind of flew a little bit, but not really. But once you would go to some other stadiums, and the ball would go absolutely nowhere at all.
Even when you barreled it, you felt like, I really barreled that one.
Yeah, you could barrel it, hit it 110, and the center fielder's running it down and catching it. It was rough.
All right, we'll talk about your season. It looks like from afar that maybe you got off to a little bit of a slow start, but the Rangers liked what you were doing at the plate, and then you had that really, really good May, and now you're hot again. How would you rate your season so far?
I think I've done a pretty good job. Always tough to start slow, just having to get that average back up and just really fight. But at the same time, it's not really a numbers game for me. I'm not just worrying about the average or how many hits I have or this is what my stats are. I'm just trying to go out there and win and help the team pretty much. And once I got out of that mindset after the first couple of weeks, I was like, okay, just forget it. Just go out there and play to win. And I just never even really peaked at the average or worried about it. And I was just going out there just playing to win every game and trying to have fun. And then I think it just turned out good, and I just started doing that ever since. I'm just trying to not get too high or low. Just going out there having fun, playing with the team, and just being so grateful for the moment I'm in. Just because last year I didn't really get the opportunity to experience a lot of success. Just because I was just always worried about this and that and all the other things into the season. So this year I'm just walking into every game, just happy, grateful, and just going out and playing to win.
That's the right attitude. And yeah. I think that's something you got to learn. I think it's
That's what Leiter did. Yeah,
I think it's something all guys mm-hmm. have to figure out.
Yeah.
I know you don't have as many at bats mm-hmm. at high A as you did at low A, but mm-hmm. Are you able to tell a difference? Is the pitching better? Is it truly a different level?
I think yes, but in some different like ways. For pitching, I feel like the pitchers are definitely better. And they're more like in the zone. Mm-hmm. But in low A, I would say that there may be a little bit better stuff, as in more velocity and just like sharper stuff. Yeah. But they also had no clue where it was going. So yeah. that made it really tough, just because you're in there with the guy throwing 98 and it might come at your head and then it might go right on the corner, on the outside corner. And then he might not land a single curveball game, and then he lands on 3-1 at bat.
Yeah.
But like, but in high, you have a little bit understanding that this guy's been in pro ball. He has a clue what he's doing. So like, you can go in there with a plan, and the pitcher's pretty much going to make his pitches, and he's not just going to go out there and just start chunking ball everywhere. So I think that's really the big difference for me on pitching. And then hitting, I just think that like the overall lineup 1-9 is a little bit better in high. So it's a little tougher to get out here.
You know, that's something they said that about Aaron Zavala too. When good hitters get to a place where pitchers start to finally come over the plate with a little more control, you start to see if they can really hit. Mm. So you have to ignore some numbers in some levels because they're just not. I think Ross even said that sometimes they just want to start swinging at pitches because they want to hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not necessarily the pitch they need to be hitting.
Yeah.
So it's good to see you start off the way you're starting off and where you're seeing better pitching and you're actually barreling mm-hmm. up some balls. That's good. Yeah. It's good on your part.
Well, and if you're making the right swing decisions, that was the thing that they always said.
Yeah.
When April, I'd ask around about you and they'd be like, oh, don't worry about him. He's making the right swing decisions. So,
yeah.
So I didn't worry about you. All right. I mean, so I want to ask you about a couple of your teammates. Abby Ortiz, who you were with in mm-hmm. down east, and he hit like crazy, and then he gets promoted mm-hmm. and hits even more like crazy. Mm-hmm. What have you seen with him from last year to this year?
That's a really good question. I really think it's just the way he walks into the clubhouse and the way he takes his BP. He handles his business this year. Not saying last year he didn't handle his business, because he's always the guy that's hard-nosed and he gets to work. But this year, I really think he's found something that's clicked and found something that's really clicked. And I wouldn't say just clicked. I think really clicked. And he hasn't stepped away from it. He hasn't shied away from it. And he also hasn't let his success like just come out of hold. Like, he wants more. Like, he's not just satisfied with what he's at right now. He's every day he's taking extra swings in BP, just trying out new things, talking with the coaches. And I really think that's why he's having one hell of a season that he is right now, because it's actually a joy to he's getting watch it. It's an unreal thing that I'm seeing with him. He hit a ball yesterday that I might be wrong, but it could have gone 40 or 50 feet. It was a bomb.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the other one, and he's only been with the team a couple of days, is Wyatt Langford. Mm-hmm. You probably haven't gotten to know him very well yet because mm-hmm. it's only been honestly a few days, but
you guys are probably close to the same age.
Close to the yeah. same age. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What have your first impressions of him been like?
Yeah, nothing but good things. Super nice guy. Just really meshed well with the team. Super easy to talk to, super easy going. But to the baseball side, he's really just if you didn't know who he was, you would never think he would stick with the Rumpel just by the way he plays. He's a grinder. He like plays super hard, cheers on everybody. He's a good guy in the dugout. Takes extra swings in BP, is getting there early, getting extra swings in. So I really like him. He's meshing well with the team, and he just goes out there and gives it his all and plays hard.
That's good.
And drives Cam in a lot.
Yeah, yeah. he's been making these runs a little easy. I'm just watching the ball fly, and I get to jog in a little bit. So he's making that easy.
Hey, this is a fun one. I got to ask this. How'd you find out you were going to Hickory? Did they play any jokes on you or anything, or what happened?
So it was after the All-Star break, and we played a 3-game series at home against Charleston. And Sunday, nothing. So I just – after the game, I went and golfed with some of the pitchers down in Down East. And then I was just going to go to a normal off day on Monday. And it's 10 o'clock in the morning. And I look at my phone, and I have like a ton of missed calls. And I'm like, kind of weird. Monday with a lot of missed calls. And I see our farm director and Maudie. I'm like, oh snap! Did I do something wrong, or did I mess up or something? And then I eventually called back my manager, and he lets me know. And I was like, okay, because I literally woke up probably a minute before before I called him, and he told me. So it was a quick turnaround. I left in 2 hours after I packed up all my stuff and went to Hickory, and then we were on the road to Rome. But it was fun.
How long of a drive is it? It's 3 or 4 hours, right?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much 4 hours. I think it was like 3 hours and 50 minutes, so it's pretty much four.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and round that up to four.
Yeah, might as well.
So you were packing up within an hour and then driving, huh?
Yeah, I woke up at 10 and then I left at, I'd say it took me 3 hours. Yeah, I left at like 2 because I had to go to Downey. I'd drive to Kinston to grab all my baseball stuff. Drive back and then pack up my room, and then I went to Hickory.
Now, how much stuff could you have with you? I mean, do you have 2 weeks worth of clothes?
Like
a PlayStation. I mean, what kind of stuff do you have?
I would probably say I have more than I need to have, just because I probably don't even wear half the clothes I bring, but. I kind of had not a lot of stuff, but I had some stuff because I kind of just, when I pack, I don't want to leave anything when I head to spring training. So I almost pack everything I need possibly. And then throughout the season, I probably use everything maybe one time, max 2 times. So I probably need to learn to pack maybe a little bit better next year. So.
All right. When's the last time you've been in the great state of Texas?
Actually, I think maybe it helped turn for like the second half, but I got to go home for the All-Star break and see my family and see my girlfriend and see my friends. And I got to go home for, it was 3 days, but it was a really good 3 days just to step away from the game just a little bit and get to see the family, the friends, girlfriend's family. It was like, just felt at home and felt like I was away from baseball, and then when I went back, I was just ready to go. I got to go home, got to see my family, so it's time to go.
Nice.
Now, is your girlfriend, was she a high school girlfriend? And
yes.
Is she off at college? Where's she going to school?
So she was a year older than me. She went to college her first year, and then now she's a real estate agent. So she's doing a good job of real estate and making money, and she's liking it. So I'm proud of her.
Sweet.
That's what I do. Yeah. So I do that on my day job. So I know exactly what she does there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I peddle drugs and
yeah.
I don't deal drugs for the FBI.
Yeah, just that was a joke that Jeff said. We don't need the FAA or whatever it is.
FBI.
Yeah, FTC, we don't need anyone.
We don't YouTube cracking down on us. Yeah, it's just a joke. YouTube, don't make sure you approve our ad. All right, I've got that's pretty much all the baseball questions I have. As you'll remember, John here has some more fun questions. Mm-hmm. Not that we're not having fun, but his are a little lighthearted. Yeah. So
absolutely.
So John Moore, take it home.
Hey, so let me ask you this. So you said you went and played golf. What else? What do you do in your spare time? What do you like to do in your spare time?
I play a lot of MLB The Show. Maybe too much. Not too much, but I definitely chill out on it a little bit during the season. But I like playing The Show on PlayStation. And then besides that, I like to golf. I really like golfing. It's just super fun. Super fun. I would say if I went out today, I would shoot maybe 86, maybe.
All right. Handle that.
Maybe.
Better than me. I mean, I used to be okay at it, but you know, if you're playing more, that's great. Yeah. And doing that. So let me ask you this. So I want to ask you a little bit about your teammates. This is always the fun part of asking, because you've been with these guys for a few years. Who's the best dressed of your teammates? The guy that always looks sharp.
Best dressed. I'm gonna do a really sleeper pick that no one's gonna think about.
Okay.
Joseph Montavo.
Oh,
I really wouldn't say dressed, yes, for sure, but every day it doesn't matter if he just pitched 20 innings. You walk in the locker room, it looks like he just took like six showers. Like he never looks like he's sweating. He's always in the clubhouse, like looks like he's perfectly fine, and it's just like, okay, like what is this guy doing different than everybody else?
Has no wrinkles in his shirt, everything's
It makes no sense at all. He can throw a whole game and then come in the dugout and it looks like he just took a shower and everything. It makes no sense.
Montavo can remember that. All right, who's the funniest of all the guys? Who keeps everybody lighthearted and laughing?
Yeah, I'll do a couple from. I'll give you two from down east. This is no brainers, but I think Ian and JoJo, they're always cracking me up. They're funny. But here, at Hickory, I would probably have to go. I'd probably go Cody Freeman.
All right, Cody,
I can see that.
Yeah, sure.
Cody Freeman's up. He's a funny dude. So I get to Cody.
Who's a prankster? Anybody pulling pranks on anybody? That used to be a thing. We're not hearing a lot of it anymore.
Yeah. Chase Easley.
Chase Easley? All right. There we go.
All right.
What's the best prank? Have you had a good one that you've seen?
Not I definitely have one, but I don't think I'm gonna say it just because. So I just won't say it.
Okay.
We understand.
Yeah, that's one we'll hear off the air. Those are the funny ones. Those are the good ones.
Yeah.
Nugget. That's the best. That's the good answer right there. That means we get to hear a good one afterwards. All right. How about if you were in a back alley fight? You guys are out one night. Who's the guy you want standing next to you?
I think I have an answer.
Okay. Let's see if you're right. But first, let's ask him.
Guy I want standing next to me.
You know that he's going to help protect you if you can't pull your own. Or he's just something about him is mean, and you know that he might clear the whole alley himself.
I'll probably go, this guy is way off. I would go Elier Hernandez. Elly Hernandez,
Yeah.
or I would just he's not with the Rangers anymore, but I would, if he was still there, I would go Josh Saleh.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. He was big. I was thinking you might go with Yosi Gallant. That guy's
Ooh.
because he's built.
He's built like this brick wall.
He's built like this brick wall, but once you get to know him, you realize he's literally the nicest guy that is on planet Earth. So I think he might just actually he might be good. He might somehow find a way to get us out of it and sweet talk the guys. So
Oh, he's a lover, not a
there
fighter.
you
Yeah.
go. That's something we learned right there.
That's a
Look
good
at
one.
Cam, man. He is dropping it. All right. Anything you're binge watching right now?
Not really. I'm not really during the season. I don't really watch much, which is kind of bad. But I don't watch much shows or nothing. I just watch SportsCenter or watch the baseball highlights and then go to bed. That's really
About have you seen the Barbie movie?
No, I don't think I will.
Yeah,
I can't watch that. I do want to watch Oppenheimer though. Oppenheimer does look good, so.
I want to see that too. Now, your girlfriend's probably gonna make you go see that Barbie movie, or
She can go
unless
see. She can go
yeah,
see it by herself, or
yeah.
with friends. You tell
Hopefully,
me
she
if she
goes with
doesn't say, "I
friends.
want you to go watch
Well,
Barbie with
here
me," he's not gonna go.
you'll find this pretty funny. So it came out, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, whatever it was, and we were at the ballpark, and Josh Young comes out of the dugout, and Kennedy Landry from MLB.com is there, and he says, "Hey, did you see the Barbie movie last night?" And she said, "Of course, because that's just Kennedy."
Kennedy, yeah.
Well, Josh Young was in the same theater. He goes, "I know, I saw you. I was there with my girlfriend. I left after 15 minutes." But he left his girlfriend there. He said, that just wasn't me."
Kathy keeps telling me I'm going to see it, and I have skirted that so far.
Well, I mean, the thing for me is Margot Robbie.
Well, yeah, she's hot.
She's just so pretty.
She is hot.
Just go and
There's no way
just go
to
look at her and
go.
put in my headphones or whatever. I don't know, but
Hey,
all right.
team bus ride. When you're on a bus ride, you got a long way. What are you doing if you're not binge watching? What are you doing on the bus ride? You guys playing cards, doing something?
The guys like to play Among Us.
Okay.
They also play this game that I'm not the biggest fan of, so I don't play that game.
What is it?
It's called like Clash Royale or something. It's some
Okay.
game that they play. I remember I played it before, but I wasn't good at it, so I just don't like it anymore, so I don't play it.
That's the best way. If when
Yeah,
I play games I'm not good at, I'm like, I don't want to play anymore. I'm sorry.
I just don't play anymore. But I like to listen to music. I've been doing the Immaculate Grids, so
Oh man, I
that's
love the grid. Yeah, I
yeah,
do too.
that's been fun. That's been fun. So that's what I do, and then I'll just watch some YouTube or watch some at bats of mine.
Have you you
I try not to watch at bats, but it gets tempting when I'm so bored. I say, okay, I'm just gonna watch my ABs real quick.
Okay, so the grid has expanded into football, basketball, and hockey, and I'm atrocious at the other three. I mean, baseball's tough.
It is tough for
I
me
did. I
too.
didn't get which one did I miss yesterday? I missed Giants Indians. No, it wasn't Giants Indians. It was Giants somebody.
I missed Giants Red Sox. I could
That's the
not
one I
think of one.
missed. That's the one I
I
missed.
I could I could I couldn't think of it at all. So.
Yeah. And I try to go super scarce.
Yeah.
Especially when it's the Rangers, because when it's the Rangers, MVP, you can't say Juan Gonzalez. MVP is a bad example
Got to
because
go
like
Jeff
Jeff
Burrows.
Burrows,
Yeah,
but
you got to go
like
down
yes,
there.
Tuesday or Wednesday, it was Royals and Rangers. And so I did it twice because,
Chapman.
well, that's the obvious one.
Yeah.
So I went with Jeff Frazier.
Oh, yeah.
But then I went and did it again because Chris Young is also an answer.
Yeah.
But he was not as rare as Jeff Frazier.
Okay. All
So,
right.
but I love the grid.
Hey, so you haven't really had a chance since you've been in Hickory, but in Down East, you spent some time there. What is the best away stadium that you play at? Not the one in Kinston. I'm sure you always love your home stadium because that's when you go right to your place you're living or whatever. When you're on the road, what's a cool place? Maybe it's got a cool town, good restaurant, something like that. What's a good place to play on the road in low A?
Let me give you a two-part answer. Just stadium itself. Just
well, you
stadium.
Go stadium, and then maybe a cool town.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Just stadium, Kannapolis, with the White Sox for sure. But town and place was Charleston, the Rays.
Charleston's great.
Charleston, yeah. South Carolina, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fans are good. The town or the city right outside of the stadium is awesome. I remember I went on this street. I don't know what it's called. It was like a super long street with a whole bunch of stores with my mom and my girlfriend last year, and it was a lot of fun. So yeah, I like that place.
My wife and I went to Charleston, and I know the street mm-hmm. you're speaking of. We went to Charleston mm-hmm. in April, and mm-hmm. I was trying to get them all to go to a game.
I've been.
Because we could see the ballpark and the lights, and actually rained the night I wanted to go.
What's it called now? When I went,
the River Dogs.
Are they the Capital City? They used to be called the Capital City Bombers, but now I know there's mm-hmm. something else.
I think they're the River Cats or River Dogs.
Yeah, River Dogs, River Dogs, River Dogs. Charleston River Dogs.
Okay, Charleston, West Virginia is not bad either.
It's the capital.
Yeah, well, but Charleston, West Virginia, I used to go there on business a lot, but Kathy and I went. They have a guy there. Have you played at Charleston, West Virginia yet?
Charleston? I'm not
that
sure.
That might be high A. So. That might be someplace y'all go this year.
You'll okay. know if you're in West Virginia.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
They're not affiliated ball.
Oh, no.
They're not affiliated ball anymore. This year, they're out of it. They used to have a guy called the Toast Man. He would sit there behind home plate and throw toast, and he knew something about it. That's back when Sam.
Oh, Pump, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You heard of that
I've
story?
I've heard of those stories. Yes. Yeah. The toast.
He sits there with toast,
that.
And he knows every obscure stat about every player on the opposing team. He does his homework. It's yeah. impressive. And he ended up becoming a general manager with them and working for the team.
Oh, that's cool.
And but back then he was just a diehard fan, and they were the West Virginia Power, and they were part of the Pirates organization.
Okay.
But he was back there, and Kathy and I were on a long vacation, and we went to the game, had on my Rangers hat doing that. It's 2019. And so I started giving – every time someone strike out, you are toast. And he'd start throwing toast. Really? He has a toaster going, and he has five loaves of bread, and he starts throwing toast around, and he's a big hit. And he was funny, and he came to talk to us out of you. It was really good. You ask any guys that play –
how does he get the toaster through security?
He's part of the deal. Oh, okay. He plugs in on the front row right behind home plate. He plugs in. It's pretty cool.
Is it like a like one of those?
It's a little four slicer.
Okay, well, you got to have four.
Yeah, it's a four slicer. That's all it is.
That's funny.
You know what? All right, we'll end it on a good one. We've already asked you what's something nobody knows about, and we did that last time.
Yeah.
We'll do the who's your hero? Who is your hero?
I would go my mom and dad. My dad, for introducing me to the game and to sports and to how to kind of really how to be a man almost and handle stuff.
Yeah.
But my mom, on the other hand, she's surprisingly the hard-o. She's the one that she's the more serious one of the bunch. My dad's definitely he can be serious, but he's also like a jokester, and he likes to keep it cool and like just play around with me. But the mom is like super serious. Like I remember she came and watched me last week in Hickory, and after like every game, she's like, gotta keep going, get ready for tomorrow. yesterday doesn't matter anymore. Time to go tomorrow. And I'm just sitting there like, yeah, mom, I know. I know, mom. So I would say them two, just because the mesh and the just like how they both kind of go together. It helps a lot.
Let's be honest, though. She runs your household, doesn't she?
Yeah. I'm sorry, Dad, but yeah. Hey, if mom's in a bad mood, then whole house in a bad mood. If mom's in a good mood, whole house in a good mood. That's just how it is.
That's life, baby.
That is life. Look, mm-hmm. you can ask my wife that I am allowed to run my house. I'm allowed to run my house because she lets me. That's really how it is.
Yeah, that is.
Hey, nope. Cam, anything else?
No, but yeah, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man, we know it's tough. You guys have a long schedule. This will probably be out. The audio will be out today. We'll probably get the video out here in in the next couple of days once we get it all edited up. But we really appreciate you. I know you guys are busy taking your time to stop down and do this. That's Cam Colley, infielder, the Hickory Crawdads, not now number 23 prospect in the Rangers organization. Cam,
23 and climbing.
Huh?
23 and climbing.
23 and climbing, absolutely. Look what he's doing this year. Cam, thanks so much for stopping down. Tell your folks to watch this thing, and we're pulling for you, and can't wait to see you when you get up here to Frisco.
Yes, sir. Thank you all. Thank you. I had a good time. Thank you.
All right.
That's Cam Colley. Guys, when we come back, we're going to go down in the bus leagues, brought to you by the Round Rock Express right after this. Down in the bus leagues is brought to you by the Round Rock Express. Jeff, what's going on with the Round Rock?
You know, Round Rock is still on the road. They've been on the road forever, it seems like. But they do come home next week, beginning April 8th. They play the Albuquerque Isotopes. You know, they have such a good lineup at Round Rock every night. I got something for you every night. Tuesday, $2 Taco Tuesday. Wednesday, $1 hot dogs. Thursday, the 10th, the Brew Review. The 11th, that's the chili night with Kevin from the office, Brian Bumgardner. On the 12th, next Saturday, my son's birthday, they have the Zoo Dust post-game concert. And then on the 13th, the Sunday to close up this short homestand, it's Kids Day. Then they're damn back on the road again. But just like Frisco has already announced its college tournament for the spring, so has Round Rock, the 5th annual Carbock Round Rock Classic, in conjunction with Peak Events, the same people helping out Frisco. February 23rd, 24th, 25th, the four teams are Washington State, Kentucky, who's pretty good, Texas State, always a nice little program. They're going to make the drive up from San Marcos. And then Kansas. And Kansas actually had a better year last season and a really good recruiting class. So we'll see what happens there, but it'll be a good time. Tickets are available at carbockrrc.com. And if you have any other curiosities about the Round Rock Express, go to milb.com/round-rock. For information.
Big thanks to Cam Colley for joining us. Now it's time to go down in the bus leagues, brought to you by the Round Rock Express. Okay, we're going to start out. We're going to go from the bottom, go all the way up. This is the way we normally do this. First, we'll talk about the ACL. Still got Sebastian Walcott there, who hit another home run yesterday. Yeah. I guess that's 7. He was kind of went in a little lull there for a little
bit. That's all right. Yeah, he's still pretty talented.
Yeah, you think so?
We'll take him.
Yeah. We'll take him. 17-year-old. I mean, he's the same age as my junior in high school.
There you go.
Well, he's a little bit older. My junior in high school just turned 16, but he just turned 17.
Right, in March. Yeah.
Yeah, so he's literally 1 year. He's younger than my one going off to college. And he would technically, let's be honest, this is a kid that would be a senior in high school.
That's right.
He would be going into a senior year of high school now, and he's playing against kids in the ACL that are – some of these guys are coming out of college now. Some of these, you know, coming out of there, he's done well. The DSL, two teams going there. I didn't get the scores on them, but we'll – you know, there was someone from there that was tearing the ball up. I'm going to look that up. There was someone that –
I mentioned him last week. He was the player of the week, offensively, outfielder. So, you know, those guys – You'll know the names if you're a real prospect hound,
and I am, but I just
I'm
blank.
Yeah. Well, and the teams are, you know, there's two teams. There's so many players down there.
Yeah.
But anyway, go to Down East.
Down East, the low A team. They're 16-17, 5-5 in their last 10. They lost one. Really, I mean, the whole story down there right now is pitching.
It is. You know, Dylan McLean, who we mentioned. You know, the fourth rounder in 2020, he's having a nice year. The sharp-dressed man, Montalvo's having a good year. DJ McCarty's having a good year.
Yeah.
Aiden Curry, good year. Good. So it is pitching, as Cam was kind of talking about.
And Porter's there.
Yeah, of course. Brock Porter's there.
You know, Down East makes the mistake of not putting out who their starting pitcher is.
Well, I got an explanation on that. The MILB.com is reliant upon team PR people and radio people. Well, Down East doesn't have one.
Right.
So they haven't their starter's been TBD pretty much all season when you go look online. So
I did not know that. I started a ruckus because I was doing roster watches.
Yeah.
And they did, you know, and so what I'd seen was they had put out a lineup that morning. So let me just clarify what happened here. So they put out a lineup that morning that Hickory put out, their little PR person or whatever. He put out a lineup, and it showed that Porter was starting.
Yeah.
So I go to the website just to see, okay, you know, what's going on. And I went to the – this is 4 hours later, and it shows TBD.
Yeah.
And I just pointed out, why does it say TBD? It's supposed to – and this other one said Porter was starting 4 hours ago. Well, of course, that caused a stir, and we're right in the middle of trade deadline.
Right.
You know, what's going on and all that. And then I got pointed out by the guy that follows us from the UK, the big UK Ranger guy.
Yeah.
He says, you know what? They're always late doing that. And yeah. I'm like, okay, well, like I said, I wasn't saying, but I'm like, and then all of a sudden we're like, okay, well, he is starting. I don't know. That's just TBD. But it went crazy there for about an hour.
Yeah.
It got picked up by all the trade deadline people and all of that. And I'm like, I didn't do anything wrong here. I didn't say they pulled him. I said, why isn't he listed?
Yeah, well, anyway, he's with the team. So
I'm more careful. Yeah, they weren't. If he was being traded, it was going to be a big deal.
Yeah. They have a couple of newcomers. Paul Bonzagni, I think I pronounced that right. If not, I apologize. He's actually a local kid, went to South Lake High School. He was drafted out of by the Rangers in the 12th or 13th round.
And he's already at Down East?
He's at Down East. They drafted him out of college. I think Southern Illinois.
Okay.
Anthony Clarico, who signed as a undrafted free agent.
Right.
He's also there for big first baseman. So you're going to start seeing some of these guys. Honestly, and I said this last week, I thought it would be more like middle August, but I forgot the last couple of years the deadline to sign has been coincided with the trade deadline, and so then everybody went to Arizona, and then they got sent out. Well, the draft was a week. The draft deadline to sign was a week earlier, so everything got moved up a week. So that's why at Hickory is Wyatt Langford.
Yeah, but we'll talk about – now, you just – who were you talking about that just signed as the first baseman? Was he the one out of Wayland Baptist?
No. He's from Mississippi.
From Mississippi, okay. Yeah. So there was a kid that they signed also as an undrafted free, real big kid from Wayland Baptist University.
Mm-hmm. That's right around here.
It's kind of up near Lubbock, I think. But a kid I know very, very well led their team in hitting everything. He's a catcher.
Oh, okay.
And he signed and went, and he didn't sign with any – he's playing for the – in a Evanston something in a independent league.
Okay.
He went and signed with them. He's already hitting 300, hit a couple of home runs. Real good kid. Anyway, but his teammate – the Rangers signed as an undrafted free agent.
Okay.
Real big kid. I mean, he looks like he weighs about 350 pounds.
Oh, good.
Big kid. Hit the ball about 600 feet, too, if he gets hold of it. Let's go to Hickory. Hickory is 22-10. They're in first place, by the way. Playing well. They're 6-4. They've won three in a row. We know Cam Colley's there. Is anybody else there that's worth a crap?
I don't know.
Let's think about it. Mitch Brad, is he there?
He's good, but I think you're looking for Wyatt Langford.
That guy. What is he now? He's a big deal.
We talked to Cam about him, and he's already has splendid minor league numbers.
He's got two triples.
He debuted in the Arizona Complex League. I thought he'd go to Down East. I really did. But I think at least through a week or five games or three games, he looks like he's going to handle high A just fine.
So obviously he'll get called up to the big leagues this year. Sorry. All right. I shouldn't say that.
Anyway.
He looks
so
good.
That's fun, you know, to watch. Hopefully we can get him on the podcast soon. It just seems like a guy who's as advertised good, but also all the work ethic stuff that they talked about and being a good teammate that Cam talked about. So curious to see that one. That one's just starting. We'll see how fast it takes him to get to the majors, but it's on his own timeline. I mean, you never know. You can't predict when he's going to be there. And you can predict, but you're not going to be right all the time. And,
exactly.
If you're thinking, oh, boy, it's the start of 2025, he's going to be the starting left fielder. Maybe.
Yep.
But it might not be until 2027. You just never know, all right?
What these guys do, you're absolutely right. He has obviously took off and proved why he was one of the top.
Yeah.
Some believe the top pick in the draft. But there's no need to rush him because they are getting good outfield play at the big league level.
Sure.
You don't rush the kid up unless you have a hole to fill right now or maybe on a team that's not in playoff contention. You just want to get him the ABs and get him up there.
Yeah.
just, Rangers are going to play the best option right now, and let's just
I'd say 2025 is the soonest the Wyatt Langford's in the majors.
Okay. I would say
saying to start the season either. It could be at any some point in 2025.
I would say the absolute best would be if he started in Double A next year, tore it up into Triple A next year, and they have a hole. There might be something by the end of the year. There are some guys that have done that. The catcher that was drafted number one overall has already gone up that with the Pirates. What's
Henry Davis?
Henry Davis, who did and
right. But I think he's back down though.
Did he go back down?
Okay.
But anyway, in any case, when you're a first place team playing the way the Rangers are and doing what they're doing, he's going to be because there's a hole, and we might as well get him in there. Other than that, he's not going to come up when they don't.
Yeah, you don't.
You don't rush him on a first.
If you're good, you don't need to. You don't need to rush.
Right. Exactly.
So,
all right, let's go to Frisco. 17-13. By the way, all these numbers are the second half numbers. These aren't the first half numbers. They're 17-13. 7-3 in their last 10. They've won a couple. That's obviously kind of the more talented team. Even with the loss of Acuna, still one of the more talented teams. Hickory's chasing them right now, but I mean, look, you still, you know, look who's there. You've got Zavala, you've got Carter, obviously the number one prospect. You've got Leiter there, but he's on the development list still.
Dane Acker, who's pitched well, still kind of on a pitch count. You know, we like Dane, not just because he's been on the show, but
Josh Stevens,
he's a good player. Josh Stevens, who's kind of dealing with that back thing still, but it's a talented outfit, and then there's some veteran minor leaguers who know how to get it done, like Jax Biggers and Kellen Strom. So it's a pretty good group, or you know, combination or group. They should be winning games because there's talent and there's experience. So we'll see how that one plays out the rest of the way. And I like and Antoine Kelly. I'm really
he has looked good.
Starting to think about him as a guy for next year. Not necessarily to start the season, but at some point. It looks like he's kind of struck on something with his command or his control, and when he's right, it's tough to hit.
Yep. Okay, we'll go to Round Rock AAA. That's the closest to the big leagues. For those that don't know, they're 15-15. They are 1-9. They're on a bit of a skid, and they were playing fantastic, and they have gone on a little bit of a skid.
Yeah.
They've lost two. I mean, look, these are the guys that are one step away from the big leagues, probably one of the more – you know, some of your arms are the ones that are right there that might go up and down. They're kind of going up and down right now. Owen White's there. Cody Bradford's there. You know, Wynn's there, still on the 40-man roster, who's come out of the bullpen and not done too bad. As far as on the offensive side of the ball, the names you're really watching there is someone like J.P. Martinez and maybe, you know, Davis Wenzel, some of those guys that
Foscue.
But I did find out, by the way, you know, one of my guys that I really like is Ryan Doro.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope someday he'll make the big leagues. He came up in that year of COVID where he got to come out and play a little swim there. Tore his knee up in spring training. Reached out to Ross, just texted him and he said, yeah, he's still with us. Already signed for next year. He's rehabbing.
Okay, good.
I just saw his wife had some pictures of the kids, and I saw it out there. I think it was on Instagram or something. And Ryan was there, so I was like, he looks like he's home. Mm. But he blew his knee out. So, you know, he's going through that. So, Ross got back with me. Thanks, Ross, for doing that. It's always a pleasure to see Ryan when I see him. He's a friendly guy.
A couple things on Round Rock. They 1-9, but they've been walked off a lot. So and they've been in El Paso.
So they don't have a bullpen.
They were in El Paso, and it's tough sledding in El Paso anyway because of the thin air and everything. So it's not like they're losing 12-2 every night. You know, they're competitive. They just lost an extra innings the other last night, I think, to Oklahoma City. So they're playing well. You know, but you know, the good thing,
one they of the are good, talented.
Yeah, one of the good things about the trade was that it created depth. The trades created depth. So Cody Bradford is back starting in AAA. Although I thought he had a case for staying with the team. I really did. He's been really good. And then
boy, has he? He had the one start, the very first start, where he had a little bit. He was okay. He just wasn't. Yeah. Boy, he has been very solid.
And then Yuri Rodriguez is back there. They traded Spencer Howard.
Yeah,
they needed a 40-man spot, so they traded him to the Yankees. Got a 40-man spot. They're going to get some cash.
I hope he gets figured out. He's always been a nice guy.
Good arm, good guy.
Yeah.
You know, Mark Church, Chase Lee, guys we've mentioned all year. And I will be curious to see, And I haven't talked to Justin in a while, but, you know, I think because of his situation, the position he plays, second base, obviously Marcus Semien's not going anywhere. Third base, Justin can play. Josh Young's not going to go anywhere. So I think that he's – I wouldn't be surprised if he has anticipated that he would be traded. And I wonder if he was a little pensive going up to the trade deadline, and if now that it's over and he's still in the organization, if he – you know, his numbers aren't bad, but if he starts to take off here a little bit.
He could be an offseason move, too.
There are a lot of guys in this organization who make decisions who really like Justin Foscue and believe that he's going to be a very good hitter. He doesn't strike out a lot. He makes a ton of contact.
That's why he was drafted in the first round.
You know, and I'll tell you who else is having a nice little surge here is Blaine Crim. There are a lot of hitters down there who are good and the roster's full is true, but you never know. You can be a sprained ankle away or a foul tip or whatever it is away. And I mean, look at Sam Huff. You know, Jonah Heim got hurt and Sam Huff is up and he's homered and then he had a three hit game the other night.
Yeah.
So you just got to take advantage of your situation. And I'll tell you, Round Rock's missing Huff. I mean, the guy was killing it down there.
Yeah, they got Pawlecki, who they signed just for depth,
right?
Which was a great move. I mean, and Pawlecki is a guy. Yeah, Hedges is probably the guy you like better at the big league level to help out. But Pawlecki was another one that was a good framer he was already with the organization once. They brought him back for pure depth with somebody with experience that's been up in the big leagues. This team is. You know what? Hats off. I know a lot of people that hate JD or don't like JD, but he had a great run with this organization and what he did with this team.
Sure.
You got to take your hat off, CY. He has been aggressive as a general manager and over the operations, baseball operations. And it's been a pretty good little offseason. He's done well since he's taken over the reins.
Yeah. You know, when the Rangers were able to and willing to spend money when John Daniels was the general manager.
He did well.
They did well. And
Adrian Beltre.
If you look at his last, you Darvish, I mean, you look at his last 5 years, they didn't spend any money.
No, they were. It was.
So, I mean, it takes both. But, there's some talk out there that John Daniels has his hands on this or fingerprints on this team, and he absolutely does.
He does, yeah, absolutely.
There's no question. There's no question that
his fingers are more on this team than they actually are on the Tampa Bay Rays, where he is at now.
Right.
Which his fingertips are there as an advisor, but he didn't build what they have there.
Oh, no, not at all.
But Chris Young has done well. His fingerprints are all over this now, especially with the offseason moves and what they did in the trade deadline. Yeah. But there's still a lot of players in this organization that are John Daniels.
Nate Lowe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Josh Young, drafted by Jonah Heim.
Right, exactly.
Adolis Garcia. Yep. I mean, I can go up. You can look at the whole roster, and I can tell you where they came from. But that's not taking anything away from Chris Young. But no.
Who's been good?
But this moment has been in the works for several years, and there are guys who came before Chris Young, who probably deserve a nod. So
a lot of that front office on the operation side should get tip your hat to them. They do a good job. Pro scouting department.
Yeah.
What their drafts have been very good in the last couple of years. Yep. They've pulled some kids out of that draft that have been traded in deals and used. Hats off. I mean, the whole organization's been good right now. And, when Tampa was in town the other day, John was down there, and I walked over and said he saw me and said, "Hey, John," and we sat and talked for a little bit.
Right.
And, while his son was there. His son was there with him. I guess he'll be at Do It for Durant if he's in town.
He'll be here.
He sits on the board for that. So.
Yeah. Let's mention that real quick. Do It for Durant, calling it the Do It for Durant doubleheader.
Right.
It's golf. I think 1:00, followed by the dinner and auction. It's at the Rangers Golf Club in Arlington. Got a nice setup out there.
Is that the one we normally play at?
No, that's Cowboys. We're at the Rangers Golf Club.
Okay.
Look, there's about 30 golf spots left.
Okay.
So just do a internet search Next Step Recruiting, do it for dirt.
Hey, DM Jeff or I on Twitter, and we will send you the link.
Right.
Honestly, if you're serious about doing that, and hey, if you want to play on my team, let me know. I'll make sure I can. They reached out to me who I wanted to play with last year, and if you want to play with me, we'll get on the same team. I will be your D player, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, well, come on out. Yeah, help. Good cause, obviously. Tremendous cause. And anyway, so I'm glad we mentioned that. Maybe next week, a week after, I think maybe I'll reach out to John Daniels, see if he can come on and talk about the charity.
Sure.
And then just catch up on life, its own self. And then remember to subscribe to RangersToday.com.
$5.99 a month.
$35 for 6 or $60 for a year. And then go over to our YouTube channel, which we've had the Max Scherzer press conferences, which have been wildly popular. We're at 1,800 subscribers now. We could always use more. The more subscribers and the more views, the more money goes into the coffers and helps
which sends us on the road,
pay for trips and stuff like that. So
you guys have been great. We want to
appreciate your support there.
Yeah, we want to tell you how great you've been. We've got a loyal following. It's been fantastic. We really appreciate you guys and what you do. But tell your friends about it. If you know Ranger fans that are big Ranger fans, this is the place to go. This is the best Ranger coverage. I've said it over and over. It starts. I had my coffee this morning reading about the Scherzer that you put out last night. It's the best Ranger coverage from the minor leagues, all the way from the farm system, as Emily says, from the farm system to the front office. And we got them all, and we've got access to all of them from the farm system to the front office.
That's right. And so, anyway, it's worth giving up Starbucks one day a month.
Absolutely.
That's basically what the equivalent is.
That's what it is. Guys, we're going to get out of here?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's get out of here. We'll see you next week. Until then, folks, we'll see you at the yard.